deacon will tell you, we ain't having that. We ain't finna let you tab our church. If you got a complaint, bring it to the board. We'll sit out and talk about it. Don't let mess get in your church. Hold it together. And the deacon board ought to be close enough to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, let's sit down and talk about it. Don't you let no old devil get up in your church talking about I want to talk. Deacon's supposed to be strong enough and say, sit down. Before the pastor don't ever say nothing, deacon says, sit down. Don't let mess tap your church. There's always some mad folk in church. I done told you there's two kind of folk in the church. It's the caterpillar and the pillow. The pillow's holding it up, and the caterpillar just crawl in and out. You either save or you're lost. I ain't never heard of no half-pregnant woman. Ain't but two folks in the church of the saints and the ain'ts. A lot of folk in the church not saved, and you got to hold that thing together. Now, don't get too happy on the deacon. I'm coming your way. Look. Now, see that straw? I can take that straw off by itself. Break it up. Break it up. Break it up, throw it away. But when they together, I can't break them. That's the way a church needs to be. Anytime somebody think they can get off by themselves, talking about I don't need nobody, I don't need no church folk, I don't need to go to church, the devil will get you in, break you up. But when you pray together, you'll stay together.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio. Presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
This morning we want to call your attention to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we want to commence reading at the 5th verse. And we will read through verse 6, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. And there you will find these words. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, amen. with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Amen. Amen. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to speak to your heart from the subject, lifting hands unto the Lord. Amen. Lifting hands unto the Lord. Thank you, ushers. When we talk about worship, I've come to find that there are many new converts and new Christians, amen, people who did not grow up in the church, people who didn't have mama and daddy bringing them to church every Sunday. And sometimes you can come into the worship experience as a novice and not really know or understand why some things are happening, why some things are taking place, amen. And I'm also convinced that not everybody who comes to church comes to worship God. Amen. Not only that, there are a lot of us who worship God with the criteria we have created, with no thought of what God says and how God says we ought to worship Him. I say we come to church, and most of you, if not all of you, have your own criteria as to what you're going to say, what you're going to give, what you're not going to say, what you're going to do, and what you're not going to do in worship. And we say, that's just me. That's just the way I am. I worship in my own way. But my brothers and sisters, you need to read the Bible. Because in the Bible, God not only tells us that we ought to worship, He also tells us how to worship. Can I get a witness today? And that's from the pulpit to the pew. Amen. The pulpit ought not ever follow the pew when it comes to worship. I like going back and watching some of the old videos of our worship experience. Amen. And one thing I learned early in ministry is that I ought not ever follow the pew when it comes to worship. I ought not, amen, wait for the pew to stand up and give God praise before I decide to give God praise. Do I have a witness today? And I'm disturbed. You see, I can't help but see you because as it is in the text, the pulpit, amen, looks out over the congregation of the people. And that's for a reason. Amen. Dr. Theodore Judson Jimison, the past president of the National Baptist Convention, United States of America Incorporated, used to tell the preachers, amen, that if you sit high, you got to pay high. In other words, these places are elevated for a reason. That is because we are leaders in the worship experience. And I'm disturbed because I see people who come to church and who will not worship. And my brothers and sisters, anybody who doesn't want to worship down here is going to have a problem if you get to heaven. Do I have a witness here today? Because one thing I know for sure in the Bible is that when it comes to worship, the Bible says in heaven we will be worshiping every day. Can I get a witness today? So if you have a problem with worship, you may want to redirect the course of your life. Maybe you want to go to that other place where you don't have to worry about worship, because in heaven we will worship every day, which means everything we do on this side is really just a rehearsal for when we get to heaven. Anybody going to heaven? Anybody excited about, amen, your journey to heaven? Well, if you're going to have to worship every day in heaven, you may as well get into some good practice down here. Amen. Because what I beg you to do once a week is just a rehearsal for what we're going to do every day when we get to heaven. And then when you come to worship, you have to be careful that you're not guilty of just doing what you see someone else doing. Because as I say so many times, the word worship is inextricably tied to another word, worship. Amen. Which means that your level of worship is based upon how much God is worth to you. Oh my, oh my. That might be a problem. Can I say it one more time? I said your level of worship is predicated. It is based upon how much God is worth to you. And I'm going to leave that alone.
You see, your level of worship is not based upon how well you like the pastor. Your level of worship is not based upon how well you like the musicians. Your level of worship is not predicated upon how much you like the choir or the choir director. Amen. Your level of worship is predicated upon how much God is worth to you. I said I'm going to leave that alone. If you don't understand worship, you will end up going through the motions without having the proper meaning of worship. When you get a chance, read Hebrews 13 and 15. He says, let us offer up, watch this, the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips in giving thanks unto the Lord. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying, don't just give God praise when you feel like it. How many of you know sometimes it's a sacrifice? Oh, I ought to have a witness here today. I know that I'm not the only one who gets tired, amen. But even when I'm tired, he's worthy to be praised. Tell your neighbor, it's a sacrifice. I don't care if you have a headache. Tell your neighbor, he's still worthy to be praised. I don't care if your boss fired you on Friday. Amen. It might be a sacrifice, but he's still worthy to be praised. I hear somebody saying, but pastor, that's not my personality. Amen. Amen. That's why it's called a sacrifice. It ain't about your personality. Amen. It ain't about, you know, some folks say, well, I'm not a loud person. That's why it's a sacrifice. You gotta get over you long enough to give him praise. You got to get over you long enough to realize that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. See, some of us let, amen, how we look and how we're able to dress now, amen, dictate the kind of praise we give to our God. Well, if it were based upon what you drive now, if it were based upon what you're wearing now, if it were based upon how you're living now, you ought to give him a greater praise because you know. You know, you ain't always been living like you're living now. So don't let new shoes mess up your praise. Don't let new suits and new dresses mess up your praise. Do you think Pastor knows what he's talking about? I know what I'm talking about. Because if you don't realize God gave you the shoes, if you don't realize God gave you the car, if you don't realize that God gave you the house, you already got a problem. Y'all remember what Job said, don't you? The Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If anybody who should have had a pity party and not been praising, it should have been Job. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. Everything is falling around me, but I know my Redeemer lives. Folk are lying on me and talking about me, and my children are dead and my cattle are gone, but he's still worthy to be praised. Why? Because I know.
Thank you, man.
I know my Redeemer. I know he lives. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about lifting hands because I know, amen, if you just come from the outside and you're looking in, amen, you see folk lifting hands, and I was looking today, you know, there's some folk that ain't got no shame. My sister over there, amen, she lifts them all the way up. You know, I done got so fat, I can't get them all the way up without losing something. I ain't going there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But we ought to give him the kind of praise that is due him. Amen. A lot of us are not like David. You know, David got in trouble with his wife because he had a crazy praise. David got to praising God so at one time the Bible says he danced out of his clothes. I guess I'll not worry about losing that. Just... David said, God is so good, and he's so gracious, he's so merciful. Amen. He praised God out of his cup. And the Bible said David's wife was looking at him, and she was embarrassed. She said, man, you the king. You ain't supposed to be acting like that. You're supposed to be erudite and sophisticated. Amen. How many of you have made up in your minds you ain't worried about who's looking at you and what they're thinking about you? Amen. Come on, when you think about how good he's been, when you think about some stuff he's done for you that you couldn't do for yourself, and he's, oh my. David said, baby, I love you, but I ain't gonna let you change my worship. Amen. Honey, baby, sugar do, amen. I like you and all that. You've been mighty in that, but you ain't been better to me than my God that woke me up this morning, that put food on my table, that healed my body when I was sick. I've got to give him praise. So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 8, and you need to see that this chapter deals with worship. As a matter of fact, it is a pattern for worship. In the first 7 verses, the book of Nehemiah is about building a place for God to be worshiped. But in Nehemiah 8, amen, the focus shifts from the building to the worship. Ooh, some of us need to make that transition. Chapter 7 was about the building, but chapter 8 ain't about the building. Chapter 8 is about what's supposed to be happening in the building. It's about the worship. See, I've come to find you can always get folk excited about building something. But the same folk that are all excited about building something won't worship God when they get in the building. And I don't know how you feel about it, but amen, you remember in Matthew chapter 24 when the disciples asked Jesus, when is the end coming? When is the end going to be? Amen. They were admiring the building. Jesus said, y'all caught up in the wrong thing. Because that building is going to come down brick by brick and stone by stone. As a matter of fact, God is looking for folk who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank God for buildings, but God is more interested in worship. Can I get a witness today? Amen, amen, amen. There was this man who had just been saved. He was saved and just gotten saved, and he went to this real sophisticated church. And he was at this sophisticated church, and he just let loose, amen. He hollered out when he felt, amen, when the Spirit hit him. He'd say, thank you, Jesus, and praise the Lord, amen. And you know, folks start looking at him. Folks start looking at him crazy, amen. As a matter of fact, one of the deacons went up to him and said, brother, we're glad to have you over here at Sedidi Baptist Church, amen. But we don't have all that kind of noise over here. We don't clap and all of that, amen. We're just not that kind of church, amen. And so finally the pastor went to the man and said, my brother, because the pastor had gotten a lot of comments from the members saying, we don't want that over here. So the pastor told the man, brother, maybe you need to pray about being a member of this church, because we don't have all of that. Amen. And so, amen, a few Sundays went by, a few months went by, and the pastor hadn't seen the man. And one day at the Walmart, he saw that brother. Amen. And he said, brother, I've been missing you. Amen. Where you been? He said, well, pastor, I did what you said. I prayed and asked the Lord, amen, did I need to be over there at that church? And the Lord said, don't worry about it. He said, I ain't been over there in a long time either. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place. I want to be with people who are not ashamed of the gospel. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place where when praises go up, blessings come down. I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place where the people of God are not ashamed to give him praise. Where are the worshipers in the house today? If you love God, if you know how much he's worth to you, come on, come on. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. You can't tell it like I can tell it how good he's been. Excuse me. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. And I thank God because I worship, amen, the worship experience, the praise team and the choir and everything that happens in the worship ultimately leads to the word, amen. It's supposed to get our hearts ready to hear the word and receive the word. And you'll notice in that passage that we read, it says that when he opened the book, the people stood up. Now, a lot of preachers have taken that out of context, amen, and so every time the scripture is read, they say, please stand for the reading of the scripture, and y'all have heard me say, God ain't so much interested in you standing when it's read as he is you living it. Can I get a witness today? So you need to understand that they stood, amen, because the book was sacred. They stood because the book was holy. They stood because of what the book represented. You see, because if you're going to follow that rule that you stand when the word is read, amen, every time I plug a scripture in this sermon, y'all will be mad at me. Every time I read a passage, amen, you got to get up, get up, get up. You know, like the Catholics, get up. Hallelujah. So it ain't so much about the scripture being read. It's about how holy this book is. Anybody know that this book is holy? The word of God is holy. So the singing and all of that is to prepare our hearts to receive the word. And you need to know the devil knows the importance of the word. That's why he puts you to sleep. At preaching time, I ain't gonna even turn around. I'm not gonna turn around. One sister told me, she said, Pastor, I got to tell you, ain't no sleep like church sleep. You can sleep in church when you can't sleep nowhere else. Amen. I know folk who will take a 4 or 5 hour trip in a car and they will not go to sleep. I don't care how tired they are. They will not go to sleep because they, amen, want to help the driver drive. Amen. But we'll come in church, and we ain't here an hour and a half. And then you look, and amen, they already gone. They already gone. I ain't talking about nobody, because I love everybody. Amen. And so I've come by today to tell you that my concern is not that we will become too loud. My concern is that we will become too quiet. My concern is not that we will become too hot. My concern is that we will become too cold. I don't want us to get like, amen, that church that I just told you about where the God told the man, amen, don't worry about it. I ain't been over there either. I want to be in a house that's hot for God. I want to be in a house where it's loud for God. And I'm not talking about noise. I'm talking about worship. Can I get a witness today? I want to be in a house where the blessings of the Lord are coming down. And you see, some of us have what I call a standard shift praise. You know what standard shift? Amen, amen. Standard shift. Somebody's got to pump you up to praise you. Somebody's got to prod you on. Amen. The praise leader got to tell you to stand up and clap your hands and open your mouth. Amen. I call that a standard shift praise. But there are a few folk in the house who have automatic praise. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I don't need nobody to tell me to praise him. I don't need nobody to tell me to clap my hands. I don't need nobody to tell me to sing praises, because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and everything he's done for me, something on the inside comes out on the outside, and I've got to give him praise. Is there anybody here today that when you think about what God has done for you, Pastor ain't gotta tell you to give him praise. Ain't nobody gotta tell you to clap your hands. Ain't nobody gotta tell you to lift your hands. And can I tell you something? You ought not mind lifting your hands to a holy God, to a righteous God. After all, he lifted his hand for you on an old rugged cross. He lifted his hand. The Bible says they drove nails in his hand. They drove nails in his feet. They pierced him in his side. Do you know why he did it? Because he loved me. Because he loved you. Now, if you love him, give him praise. If you love him, tell him thank you. If you love him, high five somebody and tell him he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. I said he's all right. He's all right with me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself when I was too mean to live and I wasn't fit to die. He went to Calvary's cross and he died in my place. And when I think about it, I gotta tell him thank you. When I think about it, I gotta give him praise. When I think about it, I gotta worship him for all that he's done. Now I want everybody in here, lift your hands unto God. Lift your hand, and as you have them lifted, I want you to know that one of the things this represents is surrender. You know, like a baby, you ever, amen, come up to a baby, amen, and that baby needed help, and that baby, what did the baby do? That baby lifts those hands up for you to pick them up, and somebody's burdened down today. Somebody has trouble in their life today, but I want you to lift your hands to your daddy. I like the song that says, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, or whether will I go? Give him a hand of praise in this place. Hallelujah. Everybody standing, as we stand on this Sunday morning, as our ministers come down and our deacons and our deaconesses stand with us now, maybe you're here today. You didn't realize how much he was worth. But after hearing the message today and understanding that he died in your place, you ought to realize that he's worth a